This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. The legislature is off for its two-month summer break. We wanted to take a moment and look at one of the issues waiting for them when they get back. Joining me to talk about it are Susan Demas, publisher of Inside Michigan Politics via Skype, and Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants. I read an interesting piece by Emily Lawler in the Lansing State Journal this week at updating renewable energy mandates is not opposed by the utilities, as you might suppose, but it is opposed by a lot of politicians. Susan, what do you make of that?
Well, I think that the big utilities, DTE and Consumers Energy, are very interested in the energy overhaul that has been in the mix in the legislature for the last couple of years. I think that they're willing to compromise and go along with the renewable energy standard. They went along with an RPS the last time in 2008. Where the roadblock is that there are a lot of Republican politicians that are not in favor of renewable energy, and a lot of the smaller energy companies are not necessarily on board with the package as a whole.
Now, the legislation pending in the Senate calls for a 35% of the energy generated come from renewable sources by 2025. In the House, it's 30%. But it's not a mandate. It's a goal. No consequence if the goal is not met. Ken, what's the point of legislation like that? And you know, in full disclosure, we should say that a couple of utilities are clients of yours. But what's the point of legislation that's just a goal and not a mandate?
Well, I think the utilities are somewhat ambivalent about the mandate issue. Republicans are not ambivalent. They don't like them. But customers want renewable energy more and more every day. From a utility standpoint, investing in wind and solar helps meet clean air requirements. And frankly, diversifying your generation mix is a good thing. Some coal, some gas, some nuclear, and some renewable. So I think the utility attitude is probably much more ambivalent than Republican legislators.
One of the arguments that's been going on for a while is about competition. Right now it's capped at 10% on a first-come, first-served basis, so a couple of businesses in competition, even across the street from each other, as one I saw in Frankenmuth, where there's a chicken place on one side, a chicken place on the other. One got the free market electricity, the other couldn't. This free market electricity, which could come from out-of-state power companies, is capped at 10%. So why not let everything be free market? That's what we love, right? Why do we have to have restrictions on the free market access to utilities at 10%? Ken?
Well, this is the area that public sector consultants, who I work for, we've done a lot of research on market structure, primarily for the two big utilities in Michigan. So just in terms of full disclosure, I wanted to say that. But this issue of electric choice or competition or retail open access has been vigorously debated around the country now for about 15 years. And part of the challenge in places that have full retail open access, competition or choice, is really reliability. And they've suffered over time from the lack of building generating plants. And it's okay when you have a lot of capacity, which we've had for many years, but now we're getting into sort of short supply, primarily because a lot of coal plants are being retired across the country, particularly in the Midwest. So it's the closure of these coal plants and the challenge of building replacements that puts a strain on this issue of competition and choice.
I don't want to argue with you about this, Ken, because you probably know a lot more than I do about this, but I did see a study this week that came out that said our supply prediction is pretty strong. Susan, what do you think of this this whole argument about free market access capped at 10% or the reliability of the existing utilities?
Well, we did have more of a free market system before 2008. That was a big Republican priority in previous administrations. And when we did our last energy overhaul, which the two big utilities, DTE and Consumers, were big driving forces for, the energy choice market was capped at 10%. And the argument then was that it would be beneficial to consumers it would help lower rates. And, you know, since then, obviously, those smaller companies are not very pleased with the restriction. And there's a much more, I think, amenable legislature right now for that perspective.
Finally, I want to talk about the solar power industry. It's really worried about net metering. The utilities want to change the rates, lower them, pay to solar generating homes and businesses. The solar people say it'll kill solar power developing in Michigan. Ken, what's your take on that? Again, reminding everybody that you represent the utilities in your real job, your day job.
We don't really do much work on this issue of net metering and rooftop solar. That's really what we're talking about, is kind of rooftop solar, individual homeowner solar versus large industrial panels, solar panels. The utilities, both DTE and consumers, are actually investing significantly in the big solar panels. It's this rooftop issue that's caused a lot of debate, and it's a question of rates and fairness, you know. Back in 2008, a system was set up where it's a fairly lucrative, if that's the right word, or easy thing for individual homeowners to do because of the reimbursement rate they get from the utilities. The utilities are claiming that's not really fair the way it's set up, and others have to subsidize that. But they're going to have to wrestle that beast to the ground to get over the finish line.
Right. I know the subsidy argument has been made. Susan, the solar industry says this is going to kill hundreds of jobs in the industry, the just now burgeoning industry of solar, rooftop solar. What do you make of this argument, and what will the legislature likely do?
Well, this is definitely a huge bone of contention in the package. And, you know, what we saw under the Governor Jennifer Granholm administration was a real push for these green jobs, alternative energy, wind energy, solar energy. And that was mirrored at the federal level with the Obama administration. And there were a lot of subsidies to try and push consumers and try and push companies to develop this technology and embrace it. Like anything, there are some unintended consequences. There are winners and losers. And I think right now you have a lot of Republican lawmakers who have never been really supportive of this whole idea of green jobs to begin with, are really focused on some of the losers in this equation and trying to rectify the situation.
That is Susan Demas. She's publisher of Inside Michigan Politics. We also heard from Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants. Thanks very much, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.